Good afternoon. My name is Ring Lardner, professional engineer and principal with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, 23 North Walnut Street, Milford, Delaware, 19963. As Mr. Lenka mentioned, we provided two booklets to council. The big book, if you will, I will call the main presentation booklet, and the much gentler version supplement that I refer to as the supplement. There is some information in the supplement that is duplicated for the main booklet, but most of the supplement is new or updated information. In tab A of the main booklet is the presentation outline that we'll review, but not the exact order it's been written. Tabs B through H of the main booklet contains a lot of background information regarding the site data, history of the project, and the area up to the current zoning request before you this afternoon, and the sketch plan. We've included a sketch plan because invariably the question is always asked what the project will consist of. And again, we emphasize that this is a sketch plan that has not been engineered and may change as the details become more definitive in regards to buildings, parking, access, entrances, stormwater management, and source water protection. Exhibit 1 and 2 of the main booklet contains a significant number of maps to include historical photos, the 100-year floodplain, source water protection areas, historical state strategies maps, the Lewis Byway map, major arterials map, and the 1868 Beers Atlas. Exhibit 3 of the main booklet is our PLUS response. This project was reviewed by PLUS in October of 2015 for a 235,000 square foot commercial project. That project was reduced to 215,000 square foot and then ultimately pulled for the current application before you this afternoon. A new PLUS review was not required due to the reduction of the project. Our original responses are in red and our revised responses are in blue. One of the concerns that the applicant has heard over time, and I'm sure you'll hear much more again this afternoon, and at the most recent Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing, is the City of Lewis wellheads. On the screen right now is a blow-up of the existing well sites in and around the greater Lewis Rehoboth Beach area. This map shows the wells from three public water providers, the City of Lewis, City of Rehoboth Beach, and Tidewater Utilities Incorporated. And that map is also Exhibit 6 of the supplement. For several wells, I want to point out as part of this presentation. I'll blow this up a little bit more, but I want to kind of keep it in context. Or at least in context, these are all the wells I'll be talking about. This is the application that we're considering right now. I'll blow it up to make it a little bit easier as I talk through this. The first well I want to talk to is located right here. That well is located behind the Home Goods and the Wawa and the Highway Commercial Zone property. This well is located 10 foot from the closest building and is immediately adjacent to the commercially zoned lands. This well is owned and operated by Tidewater Utilities Incorporated. Ink does not move with it. The next three public wells are located along Warrington Road, Old Landing Road, and Strawberry Lane. These wells are located primarily within residential areas, with the outer part of the protection area adjacent to the recently rezoned Hood property. They're currently under review MR conditional use request by Lockwood Design, otherwise known as Arbor Lynn, and the currently under construction project of the Redden Ridge subdivision. These three wells are owned and operated by the City of Rehoboth Beach. The next three wells are located near the intersection of SR1 and Holland Glade Road. These three wells are located in a highway commercially C1 zone lands, the Tanger Bayside, and Seaside Outlets are located within the protection area. In addition, Coastal Station, which is located immediately adjacent to the wells, recently received preliminary site plan approval for a convenience store with gas pumps, restaurant, and retail. These public wells are owned and operated by the City of Rehoboth Beach. Well 8, by the number I just happened to number them, is a public well located at the intersection of Old Landing Road and SR1. This well is located within Highway Commercial C1 zone lands, and a Rehoboth Mall is located within the Water Resource Protection Area. This well is owned and operated by Tidewater Utilities Incorporated. The common theme among these public wells is they are located within or adjacent to highway commercially zoned lands or developing residential areas. There have been recent rezoning applications within these well locations, and to our knowledge, the City of Rehoboth Beach or Tidewater Utilities Incorporated did not comment on these specific applications. However, all of those applications are still required to comply with the Sussex County Source Water Protection Ordinance. The last group of wells to talk about are the City of Lewis wells located here, which is across from the application before you this afternoon. These wells over time have seen the Cape Penelope School District almost double in size with minimal recharge. The Cape Penelope School District office is located within 150 foot of the well with no stormwater management. Kings Highway is located within 80 feet of the closest well, and there's also McNichol Place and Mobile Home Park in Quaker Heights, which had contamination issues while they were on-site septic systems before coming online to the county system. It also noted that the existing on-site agricultural well located here, which draws approximately 18 million gallons of water per year from the same aquifer recharge area as the City of Lewis wells. This site is located in the source water protection area as shown on this map, and more specifically a wellhead protection area. There have been multiple studies, four to be specific, regarding the City of Lewis wells that have been completed to date. The first report is dated 19 November 2015 and can be found in Exhibit 4B of the main presentation booklet, where BPW retained the service of Advanced Land and Water Incorporated. The second study was commissioned by the applicant, called Water Resources and Environmental Impact Assessment, dated June 22, 2016, by Atlantic Hydrologic Incorporated, and can be found in Exhibit 5 of the main presentation booklet. The third study was a response to the AHI study that was done by Advanced and dated July 14, 2016. The fourth study is a response by the applicant's professional geologist to the Advanced study done in July, and is dated August 15, 2016, and can be found in Exhibit 7 of the supplement. All four studies recognize that the proposed application is located within the City of Lewis wellhead protection area. These studies include some common agreements, such as the need to protect the wellhead. The studies then differ with regards to the proposed controls for each contaminants and the protection of the wells. I will not dive into the specific details of each report. However, I will note that the applicant study prepared by Atlantic Hydrologic Incorporated on June 26, 2016 was a more detailed investigation than originally performed by the city. And as noted earlier, AHI then prepared an additional point-by-point response to the city's July 14, 2016 letter. Atlantic Hydrologic Incorporated in that August letter provided six recommendations on page 8 of the report, all of which the owner has committed to implement. On June 24, 2008, Sussex County Council adopted Chapter 89 of the Sussex County Code titled Source Water Protection, which means this ordinance was contemplated for several months or maybe years before it was adopted. During this time frame, the Cape Penelope High School expanded the school along with ancillary parking lots, as well as the original rezoning applications for the Village Center. To our knowledge, during these times, the City of Lewis did not comment on the high school or Village Center impacts to the wells or the Source Water Protection Ordinance. The proposed application is 85% smaller than the original application, yet has garnered the most attention. The project by county code is required to meet the Source Water Protection Ordinance. An excerpt is included in Exhibit 8 of the supplement. This ordinance is zoning immaterial. In other words, it applies across all zoning districts and is site-specific. The specific details of site compliance begins with the preliminary site plan, continues through design and Sussex County Engineering Review, and then complete with the final site plan application. If the rezoning is approved, the Planning and Zoning Commission and county staff will have at least two reviews of the site plan. The ordinance has specific criteria and thresholds that must be met. The subject rezoning is located outside of the 100-foot safe zone, as the property line is approximately 175 feet from the nearest well. Next, depending on the impervious area, We would, at minimum, complete an environmental assessment report to include a water climatic budget and submit that report to Sussex County Engineering during the site plan process. And what that report says is that's our assessment of the impact of the project to the wellheads, and the budget says that we have to recharge the same amount of water as what we do in an open space condition. That's the summary of the water climatic budget. Finally, based on the implemented recommendations and requirements of Chapter 89, the City of Lewis wells will be protected. The second major concern that the applicant heard, and that's my PowerPoint, I just blew through all that, revolves around traffic. Exhibit 8 of the main presentation booklet is the support facility report prepared by DLDOT, and Exhibit 9 of the main presentation booklet contains the 2009 letter agreement that Mr. Hammonds earlier referred to. On this screen is a major arterials map that depicts King's Highway, also known as SR9. It is defined as an other principal arterial according to the Sussex County Functional Classification Map and a major arterial according to the Sussex County Code. The code reads, those roadways in the unincorporated areas of Sussex County are subject to the zoning regulations of Sussex County, Delaware, which because of the traffic pattern of Sussex County operate at capacity and which are designated as follows. G, U.S. Route 9 from its intersection with SR1 to the southwesterly limits of the city, of the town of Lewis. Savannah Road is Business Route 9, not SR9, and is not the road as referred to as a major arterial in the code. A question that is often asked is, what is the difference between a TIS and a TOA? On the screen are two definitions that we tried not to make technical to explain the difference. A traffic impact study is a broader scope to identify impacts beyond the property. A traffic operational analysis generally focuses on the impacts at the site or closest intersections. These terms are defined by DLDOT in their manuals to include the various warrants and how to conduct each type of study. In 2006, a traffic impact study was proposed as shown on the screen. That traffic impact study included 11 intersections. Those intersections included King's Highway and Gills Neck Road and the proposed site entrance, King's Highway Road, Gills Neck Road, Cape Penelope High School entrance, Delaware Route 1 and King's Highway and Freeman Highway, King's Highway and Dartmouth Drive, Clay Road and Marsh Road, Clay Road and Westcoats Road, Savannah Road and Westcoats Road East, Savannah Road and Westcoats Road West, Savannah Road and Old Orchard Road, and then finally Marsh Road and Westcoats Road. The final traffic impact study review letter by McCormick and Taylor was completed in 2008, which identified various improvements that needed to be completed. The 2008 letter was based on the proposed uses listed on this slide, which is 512,000 square foot of retail and 472 multifamily units. After the 2008 letter was issued, the developer et al. Entered into a signed agreement with DLDOT that outlined all of the improvements that were required by the developer and or DLDOT. To date, the developer has completed all of their required improvements except those required to be completed by this project should the rezoning be approved, and Mr. Hammonds had already reviewed all those improvements that have been done previously. Due to the age of the traffic impact study and the various land use changes, DLDOT required a traffic operation analysis to be completed with the purpose to study the intersections as defined in the scope of work. They are the two entrances onto King's Highway and Gills Neck Road, the King's Highway, Gills Neck Road, and Cape Penelope High School. Those are the three intersections that have to be studied as part of the TOA. For the entrance design and frontage improvements, the traffic operation analysis is required prior to site plan and entrance plan review. However, DLDOT would like to review it sooner than later. The traffic operation analysis is studying the proposed uses as identified on this screen, which is the 287 single-family homes as part of Governor's, 139 multifamily units as part of Governor's, 75,000 square foot of retail, which is permitted if the rezoning is approved for B1, and then 213 single-family homes, which is based on 4 dwelling units per acre on the residual acreage of land. In discussion with DelDOT, the 2006 traffic impact study and the 2008 review letter are both still valid documents because of the proposed reduction of the size and traffic generation of this project as compared to what was originally proposed in 2006 and 2008. DelDOT is also willing to abide by the 2009 agreement if the developer is willing to do so, of which the developer has committed to doing all the improvements of that 2009 agreement, even though the project size has been reduced by 85%. Finally, the traffic operation analysis is only required for the entrance plan approval. Exhibit 4 of the supplement includes a summary of Mr. Todd Sam's testimony during the Planning and Zoning Commission's public hearing. His testimony reiterates some of the same points that I've just outlined above, and he is here this afternoon to answer any questions the council may have. The City of Lewis commissioned Environmental Resources Management to provide a traffic study. We reviewed the traffic impact assessment that was presented in 2015, as well as the one dated June of 2016. We note that the ERM report is a traffic assessment, a planning study, and not a traffic impact study or traffic operational analysis. The ERM study is a great planning tool as it looks out through the year 2035 and may be of more value to the City of Lewis or Sussex County comprehensive plans. This study cannot be compared to the 2006 traffic impact study or the 2015 traffic operation analysis, as the requirements for a TIS, TOA are dictated by DelDOT. The Kings Highway corridor has been studied ad nauseum over the last 10 years by the developer and DelDOT themselves. In conclusion, for my part of the presentation, this parcel of land is not impacted by wetlands, woodlands, floodplain, or ecological or historical resources. An environmental assessment and public facility report per section 115 of the code has included exhibit 6 of the main booklet, and our response to chapter 89 compliance, preliminary compliance, can be found in exhibit 7 of the main booklet. This parcel of land will be served by Tidewater Utilities for water, Sussex County Council for sewer, and Delaware Electric Cooperative for electric. Mm-hmm. And subject to any questions by council, Mr. Byer will continue.
Mr. Cole. Yeah, I'll just add, you cited your experts' opinions on the wellheads issues.
Yes, sir.
And I guess you submitted them to DENREC, studies?
We have not submitted those to DENREC. We haven't submitted them to Sussex County. It was just a preliminary report.
Okay. So we don't know if, in other words, you know, we have to rely on DENREC's, a lot of times, their advice and their recommendations. Yes, when we make our recommendations. Anyway, so you will be submitting these studies you just cited about wellhead protection and how you're...
There's another study that has to be conducted when we begin the site plan process. We will do that impact assessment study, and we will submit that to the county as part of the preliminary site plan application, because it is a site plan specific report.
Okay,
because these studies were done just as part of the rezoning application for the information of the public.
Right. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of emphasis, like you said, on the wellhead protection stuff, and we do have now an ordinance on wellhead protection, and I just would like to know if whether, you know, the DENREC supports your contention that you're not going to impact the wellhead because of what your studies say. So
DENREC has not reviewed it, and that'll be up to the county as far as...
I'm hoping that we will suggest that at the end. Okay. And a lot of the other wells you did show on that site, many of them have been around a long time, correct?
But they've had development that's happened since 2008, before 2008.
Right, but many of those have existed for...
Some are some newer wells in the past 10, 15
okay.
years.
Okay. And then, Janelle, do we address our wellhead protection ordinance when we see an application come in? They've implied in a way that, you know, there's been some recent approvals or something that have gone through, and there's wells nearby, and there's been no issue with wellhead protection there, and how come? And
if a site plan does come through and we note it that it's in the source water protection, we do notify them, and then they work with the county to make sure that site plan is in compliance.
So we do that as a matter of fact. Okay. All right. And does DENREC look also into the wellhead protection, or are they just relying on us
to notify them? It's a combination of agencies and the county.
Okay. So nothing is slipping through. I mean,
we are making sure that the code is complied with.
Okay. I thought you may have implied that something has been recently approved and there wasn't any concern about the wellhead there.
Why? There's been other developments that occurred near wells that City of Lewis has wells of concern, but there's also other public wells that have development, and that development can be done in concert with the code ordinance and the wells. That was my whole point of pointing out that.
Okay. And Lawrence, how long has our wellhead protection ordinance been in effect? Basically, 2 years?
2008, Mr. Cole.
Yeah. Oh, 2008.
Yes, we've, okay. It's 2008.
We adopted in 2000. Okay. Okay.
And some of the projects referenced were actually prior.
Right. Okay. I'm just trying to get a feel if we're missing something here at the county level or
No, so I was just pointing out that you have an ordinance in place,
yes,
and all the projects have complied with it, as will this project. That was the whole point of my pointing out of those wells and the ordinance.
Okay, would this project, what they're proposing, be compatible with our current wellhead protection ordinance?
I can't answer that because we have not reviewed a site plan, and we cannot make that determination until a site plan.
And we wouldn't see that until after something got approved or something, you're saying. So we're not going to be party to that information at this point in the process?
The source water protection ordinance doesn't deal with rezonings. It's really neutral in terms of rezoning. Any property owner that's in a wellhead protection zone would have to comply with that, whether it's AR, CR, B1, whatever.
Okay.
So it's at the time of site plan review. And the county actually has updated its mapping abilities so that if a site plan comes in, they can tell if it's in a wellhead protection area or a safe zone, and so it's dealt with at the site plan stage because it's real specific on impervious cover, the type of development you do, and that's all site plan issues, not underlying zoning issues.
Okay.
Well, to follow up on that, Mr. President, so with that, is it feasible to have a snapshot 30-second version, number one, of the ordinance for the benefit of the public? In other words, how does it address that? Number two is, based on what you just said, therefore, whatever this council decides is contingent upon that. And let me rephrase that. Whatever the applicant is proposing as it relates to affecting the wellhead, right? So if this council decides, let's just say, to approve the change and move forward and the site plan is presented, and there's an issue as it relates to the wellhead, what happens at that point?
If it's approved, and it really doesn't matter if it's approved if they came in for an AR1 subdivision, if there was an issue with the wellhead, it would go through the source water protection ordinance process. They'd have to meet certain restrictions to kind of go over a little bit of what the code requires.
Right.
There's a safe zone from the point of the well outwards on a radius, and the type of well, and it's pretty detailed and technical, determines that. And beyond that, there's a wellhead protection zone. And within that, you can build certain things. You can't build certain things. There's impervious cover requirements and that type of thing. So, and again, that's all site plan specific. It has to be engineered. If there was an issue, the site plan would have to be revised to deal with the ordinance and comply with it. There's a variance process if they needed to go through that, but anything that happens there is contingent on complying with our source water protection ordinance. I think that was one of your questions. It's not a specific condition of any approval because we can't put a condition on a rezoning, but it's in code, so they would have to comply with that.
I guess the point is if there's a change of zone, or even if there's not a change of zone, bottom line, if a site plan is presented for approval, And there is something that's in there that's going to affect the wellhead, our current code, it all stops until that gets revisited and corrected. So therefore, in the end, it does not impact. Is that?
Yes, that's right. It would have to be compliant with our code. It's going to stop and it's going to get addressed if it doesn't comply with the code.
Okay.
I have a question for our attorney.
Mrs. Deaver.
I believe that I was kind of watching the committee meetings when they put together that source water protection ordinance, and that it was quite exciting. There was a lot of disagreement, and then we wound up with a lot less than the state wanted us to have, and that's my concern. It was 8 years ago. My concern is, it was less than the state wanted. And I'm wondering now, where we stand. You know what I'm saying? How protecting water. We were behind, in my opinion, we were behind what we should be. Then, now 8 years later, it could be a really serious problem. But maybe my memory is off, but it seems to me that was very controversial.
I know there was a lot of different opinions with regard to the adoption of that ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that's what our code
says. We have what we have.
Yeah, and so if there's a concern, this goes a little bit beyond today, but if there's a concern about that ordinance, the method for dealing with that would be through an ordinance amendment to this, to Chapter 89.
I understand, but that's a very large area of wellhead area, huge. So, okay, thank you.
More questions? Thank you.